produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
I'm a woman of no distinction, of little importance. I'm a woman of no reputation, save that which is bad. You whisper as I pass by and cast your judgmental glances, but you don't take the time to look at me or get to know me. For to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And otherwise, what is the point of doing either one of them in the first place? I want to be known. I want someone to look me in my face and see more than just two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and two ears. But to see all of me and all that I could be, all of my hopes, loves, fears. But that's too much to hope for, to wish for, to pray for. So I don't. Not anymore. Now I keep it to myself, and by that, I mean the pain. The pain that keeps me in my own private jail. The pain that has brought me here at midday to this well. To ask of a drink is no big deal, but to ask it of me, a woman unclean, ashamed, used and abused, outcast, a failure, a disappointment, a sinner. No drink passing from these hands to your lips could ever be refreshing, only condemning. And as I'm sure you condemn me now, but you don't. You are a man of no distinction, but of the utmost importance. A man of little reputation, at least so far. You whisper to me and tell me to my face what all those glances have been about. You take the time to look at me, but you don't need to get to know me. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And you know me. You actually know me, all of me, everything about me, every thought inside, every hair on the top of my head, every hurt stored up, every hope, every dread, all of my past and future. You know all that I am and could be. You tell me everything. You tell me about me. That which is spoken from another would certainly bring hate and condemnation, Coming from you, it brings love, mercy, grace, hope, salvation. I have heard of one who was to come to save a wretch like me. And now here in my presence, you say, I am he. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And I just met you, but I love you. I don't know you, but I want to get to. I must run back to town. This is way too much just for me. There are others, brothers, sisters, lovers, haters, the good and the bad, the sinners and the saints, who need to see what you've shown me, to hear what you've told me, who needs to taste what you gave me, and to feel how you forgave me. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. They all need it. We all do. We need it for our own.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Faith Walkers, this is Iona, your host, and I'm excited you took the time to join me today. I pray that you will gain another tool to further your faith walk journey. Now, you've just heard a modern interpretation of The Woman at the Well by Reed Lynn Tucker, originally scripted by Student Life Creative. This video opens with a young woman approaching a fire hydrant in the middle of practically nowhere. She sits alone, isolated, with no one around. You can hear a train pass by in the distance. As she sits cross-legged on the ground next to this hydrant and begins to tell her story. As the scene closes, you heard the sound of water forcefully rushing out of the hydrant as she runs off to tell others. So let's go back a bit to where Jesus, traveling through Samaria on the way to Galilee, sat down at a well. There he met a Samaritan woman, name unknown. This woman was an outcast. She had been shunned by others and had five husbands total. And the man that she was currently with was not one of them. How do you like that? Now, drawing water from the well in the morning was considered a social gathering amongst the women of Samaria. The mere fact that she was alone at midday could indicate that she was an outcast or maybe a loner. As we explore this interaction with Jesus, we'll see a rich example of love, truth, redemption, and acceptance. She began by asking Jesus a series of questions when he requested a drink. How can you ask me for a drink? In short, Jesus told her not only who he was, the Son of God, the Messiah, and that he had come to offer living water, the kind that will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. After Jesus asked for a drink, the woman at the well, stunned, asked how Jesus could ask this of her again. Surely she was a Samaritan and Jesus was clearly a Jew. He replied, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She pointed out that Jesus had no cup. Where's your cup? And then asked curiously about this so-called living water. Jesus began elaborating on this living water, which he could provide, prompting her to ask him for it. Now, it's important to remember this woman felt unseen, unknown, unloved. But it was this woman which was the longest interaction between the Messiah and any other individual in the Gospel of John. He spent some time with this woman. This woman, like many others, past, present, representing people who feel the lowest of the low, in a female in a society where people were demeaned and disregarded, a race traditionally despised by Jews and living in shame as social outcasts. She not only has a holy encounter with Christ, but also receives eternal salvation. Now, Jesus' disciples returned right then, and the woman ran off, leaving her water jar behind and proclaiming to all, "Come, see," as she told her testimony to other Samaritans. "He told me everything I ever did." Intrigued, they approached Jesus, and he stayed talking with them for 2 days. Because of what Jesus shared with them, many more believers were born. Her testimony led to their salvation. You see, Jesus told her everything about her life. Despite her history, Jesus saw the best in her. Her testimony convinces an entire town to believe in him too. Now, this story has significant key factors. And also, it parallels the modern rendition. So let's dive into those. First, it shows Jesus' love for the world. The fact that the woman at the well was of such low standing, gender, race, and marital status, like the young lady at the fire hydrant, feeling disjointed and disconnected from life. He took the time necessary to listen. They talked so directly, almost as equal conversational partners, which shows Jesus' heart for all people and not just some. Second, this reminds us that only Jesus can offer salvation, the living water. And this water is not like regular water, but rather comes from Almighty God and lasts forever. A fire hydrant flowing freely can't be stopped unless capped or turned off. You get it? Third, it shows the importance of sharing your testimony. When the woman heard and believed, she immediately ran off to tell others, and her words made an impact. The scripture tells us many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Four, it underscores how Jesus, the Messiah, told them he is the Messiah, and the woman and the townspeople believed him. As Samaritans told the woman at the end of the story, we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And fifth, this interaction reveals yet again how Jesus was rejected by his own people. This Samaritan woman believe, which is the point, you see. This encounter occurred shortly after Jesus' encounter in John chapter 3 with the Pharisee Nicodemus. The Pharisees were a race and class of people, her polar opposite, like the upper echelon could say. Yet Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, did not understand the significance of what Jesus was saying. Indeed, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you are Israel's teacher, and do you not understand these things? In John chapter 3, verse 10. But this town of so-called Samaritan enemies were told, and they believed. The story of the woman at the well is a rich example of love, truth, redemption, and acceptance. Not only does Jesus accept her, but he accepts us too. Sometimes we worry too much about how to share our story with people. We worry that we'll say the wrong thing or we'll miss some very important point or points. But here, the Samaritan woman, written about in John chapter 4, teaches us not to worry. She believed, then began telling people that she had just met a man that knew everything about her. In other words, she whet their appetites just enough that they came to meet this man for themselves. And when they did, they realized and believed that he was the Savior of the world. The Samaritan woman shared a simple testimony about what she saw and what she experienced. And guess what? You and I can too. I'm going to give you 10 quick reasons to share your testimony. Your testimony depicts God's love and his mercy. Why? Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God's word tells us to share our hope as a believer. Number three, people love to hear stories, both believers and unbelievers. So why not share your story? Number four, your testimony removes fear and gives hope and courage. In speaking about what God has done in your life, remembering all of God's goodness and what he has done in the past, it gives you even more faith and courage for present living. Unbelievers will have a hard time disputing what you say. This is number five. Why? Because it's your story. Who can dispute it? Number six, testimony can create transparency within the church and within your life. Number seven, sharing brings them closer into intimate and real conversations. You become a resource for others. Stories about how God has worked in your past helps to encourage others who may be going through something similar right now. They see in you the hope that they long to have. They feel a connection. Then you're able to help them carry their baggage because you've already walked through a similar problem. Your story can be a key to unlock someone else's prison. Number eight, your testimony helps you keep your initial salvation alive in your mind. The more I tell the story of my initial meeting with Christ, the more I keep that first love alive. I remember when I first really loved God and why. And hopefully you do too. Number nine, you'll deliver more testimonies as God continues his work in you. Isn't that exciting? God is working within me every day and slowly changing me to be more like him in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And guess what? My full testimony doesn't end until I exit this earthly life. So share it. It's not too late. How, when, and where you do it is up to you. But somebody out there needs to hear it. And finally, number 10, why should we share our testimonies? Because it glorifies God. My testimony shows that God is greater than my story or my experiences. You see, it's not about me. It's all about Him working in me. Sharing my testimony is sharing the gospel because I'm sharing a story of God's hope. Now, here's a gentle warning, though. Make sure that your testimony is more than just a story about a changed life. Yes, your life did and will change, but a person can change, have a changed life from a personal trainer and a dietitian. If you don't believe me, ask somebody. Even in an unbeliever, a story about a time when they arrived at a destination despite obstacles can be told. A Christian testimony, however, is focused on a person that interrupted our selfish rebellion. That's right, I said it. It's about a light that helped us to see the error of our ways. A testimony is not a Christian testimony unless it includes repentance and a desire to work for God and see things His way for the rest of your life. This is what glorifies God and makes Him smile. Some of the best testimonies involve singing and trusting God even when you're in the midst of trials and troubling circumstances. So I want to close out with the thought that I don't know where you are in your faith walk, but I urge you to share your testimony with others. Here we see two different time sequences with the same message. There are many challenges and uncertainties in this world today, and others are looking for any sign of help or hope. If the Lord has brought you through or protected you from something, your testimony is the hope that is so desperately needed. So like the woman at the well or the young lady at the fire hydrant, open your mouth and say something. Someone is waiting to hear what you have to say. Your testimony is powerful, and your testimony is transformative, unless you keep it to yourself. It's that simple. Your testimony is simply your story of what God has done for you. So spread the word as you go about your daily lives. You never know who needs it. So, let's walk on in faith as we close out with the song, Open Your Mouth and Say Something by Brent Jones.
Give up the highest place. Come on, say, give it up. Give up the highest place. Come on, say, give it up. Give up the highest place. 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 Give up the highest Ice breaks. Come on, Saints, yeah. Come on and give it on up. Yeah. Y'all ready? If I come, say a word. Ooh, yeah. And if I could wear my hair, yeah. What you gonna do then? Everybody. Praise the Lord when they
come.
The best kind of praise is when you open up your mouth. Come on. You gotta say something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, hey.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
From that dream with a feeling unlike anything I'd ever experienced. I had a new sense of purpose because of all the dreamers who have paved the way for me and inspired me. And I was no longer afraid to dream big dreams. I learned that nothing was impossible and I could accomplish anything I set my mind to. While I sat in the basement and reflected on the journey I'd just taken with my mother and the things I saw vividly as I dreamed, I knew that it was my life's work to share what I knew with others so they would dream big dreams too. I dream big and small. Sometimes, man, I don't even dream at all. I dream of what I shall become. the good deeds that will be done. That teacher nurturing our young, a lawyer contesting the trials that have begun. That doctor saving lives, my president to change that state of mind. A scientist seeking change agents, a builder engineering the world's new creation. I dream of becoming an athlete or performer, of something that will transform him or her. An astronaut among the stars, shining bright and providing new insight, changing the world and impacting nations. Love, peace, and kindness are my recommendations. I dream big, I dream small. I dream that I am a role model for all.
Hello and welcome to Dab with Coach K. I am your host, Dr. TCK. That is your transformational Coach K. And I am so honored that you have tuned in with me today. I am so grateful to share this platform with you and hope that something is shared that will encourage you along your journey. Today's topic is hidden figures. Today in this society, people are so fascinated with fame, get rich quick schemes, becoming famous without doing the work, and wanting things immediately within this microwave society. But what happens to grooming yourself to study, to show thyself approved in order to achieve your desired outcome? What happened to networking and building relationships in order to build rapport with others? What happened to building your character, your integrity, your worth ethic, and growth so that people can see who you truly are, get acquainted with your work, and see your true gifts and talents manifested in order to, for you to become and do what God has already predestined for you? You see, watching the movie Hidden Figures, those ladies worked in the background for a major company, and they were good at what they did. They worked hard and realized their God-given gifts and talents, knowing that something better would come. Even in a work environment where they were overlooked because of their color, not their skills, and were in a building that was designated for coloreds, these young ladies saw a bigger picture and knew that one day things would change. And sure enough, they did. Katherine Johnson was called to be a computer in a room filled with white men because they needed to get accurate calculations quickly as NASA was trying to launch a man in space. In a room where they didn't want her drinking out of the same coffee pot or using the bathrooms in the building, she faced all odds. Yet she rose to the occasion and got the job done that helped shape as well as make history. Dorothy Vaughan was overlooked many times as she led the women of color in their unit. Although she did not have the title or money of a supervisor, she kept working and preparing her team so they would be ready for that special day. Being a mechanical genius, she secretly learned a new IBM system, getting it to perform even when her white counterparts couldn't. Doing so catapulted her team to the forefront, so when they needed manpower, her team was ready for the job. Both of these ladies have in common were that they were intrinsically motivated, driven to do their best regardless of their environment, and willingness to put in the work rather. Sometimes you have to take your time to build your skills, develop your character and worth ethic so that your work and reputation can speak for itself. It's not a bad thing by being in a background. It's not always a bad thing to be hidden figures. Sometimes you have to be like Mary Jackson in Hidden Figures, where she paved her own way and had faith in God and her abilities that she would get into the engineering program and make a difference. Some of our best inventors and creators were not seen, but due to their work, they have been seen across the world and made history. We have to be patient at times, yet proactive to allow the process to work for you. There's something in the wait. God can be pruning, grooming, and protecting you while preparing the opportunity that he's predestined for you. You can't be so quick to move because your timing may not be the best, which can create a headache for you. Money, recognition, and fame are not everything. And in reality, it may be more than you can handle. So you want to make sure that you stay strong, take your time, and let God work as he prepares you as his hidden figure. Remember, there is something in the wait. You may not understand it while you're waiting. You may not like it while you're waiting, but God is doing something wonderful during that wait. As I stated before, he's grooming you. He's maturing you. He's crafting your skills even more. He's improving you in certain areas, making you stronger where you're weak. He's developing that character. And you have to remember, that the wait may not feel good. It may not even look good. You may not be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but there's something in that wait. And if you're willing to just hold on, if you're willing to just trust the process, if you're willing to trust God and his plan for you, it'll make all the difference. You'll be ready when it's your time. You won't come out undone. You won't come out too soon. You'll come out just right and ready to grab a hold of your season and take advantage of the time that God has prepared for you. Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to let God's work prepare you as a hidden figure in whatever your season is? Are you willing to wait on God's time? Are you willing to let God do what he has to do in you? I know I am. And it's hard and it's difficult at times. But I urge you, I encourage you to trust the process. Trust God. Put your faith in him. And as he develops you and grooms you and equips you for what he's predestined you for. Thank you so much for joining me today. And know that God is preparing the way for you. He's opening doors for you. He's creating opportunities for you. So until next time, I am your host, Coach K. Be encouraged and feel free to follow my podcast, Dab with Coach K, or follow me on social media, Transformational Coach K for Facebook and Instagram. Have a wonderful day and be blessed.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.